ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपरकमलां श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगनालग्नातं पिताङ्गं सजीवम् सार्वैतं तावदुतं हृदिनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगनालविता श्रीविशाखम्बिकांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तुते सप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी विश्वभानुसृत देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकौपत्रुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Shall start after Arjuna asks Krishna to drive his chariot between the two armies. And Krishna did that. Being struck down with Maya. Why? Because Krishna wants you to have an example of what it's like to ride in the grip of the material energy. Caught with a kind of pincers. Krishna wants you to see the best example. They don't think it's anything unusual. As we've said many times, when we are caught in the grips of Maya, part of the experience is that you always think, my situation is special. No one can understand it. It's not quite like anybody else's situation. Only I know the depths of this complexity. No one can help me, don't even try. You might understand a little bit, but not too much. Just leave me be, let me sort it out my own way. This is my situation. When you read this chapter and a half, first chapter and a half, if you actually study, you'll never be able to say that. Arjuna's situation is so powerful. What he's caught in is so powerful that you'll have to agree. If you actually understand Arjuna's situation, you'll actually agree. It's all the same. Whenever we get caught by the pincers of life, it's all the same experience. And the solution is always the same. In fact, the cause is always the same. The cause is forgetfulness of Krishna. And now you're going to have an extraordinarily dramatic example of forgetting Krishna and what leads to all sorts of complexities and complications. But the solution is always the same. Is to surrender to Krishna and ask Krishna, what do you think is best? Krishna will play the part of the spiritual master, and Arjuna will play the part of the disciple. Based on that relationship, the Bhagavad Gita unfolds. They put aside friendly talks, and Arjuna accepted Krishna as the supreme teacher. But meanwhile, now the chariot is in between the two armies. Krishna has said, "Just behold, Partha, all the crews assembled here." This is text 25. Bhishma Drona Prabhupada Sarvesham Chavna Hishitam Uvacha Partha Pashyaitan Samavetan Karuniti. In the presence of Bhishma, Drona, and all the other chieftains of the world, the Lord said, "Just behold, Partha, all the crews assembled here." So Krishna has driven him out between the two armies. And now Krishna is saying, "Take a look! What do you see?" Of course, being the super soul, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, being the super soul, Krishna knows what's going to happen. Actually, Krishna arranges that it happens. So he's basically, kind of poking Arjuna. "Okay, take a look. What do you see? Huh? Are you going to not fight now? Is something about to come over you?" Whenever we feel weak in spiritual life, whenever we feel like we don't know how to push ahead, we should just put ourselves in Arjuna's shoes. They're big enough for everyone's feet to fit in. The situation on that battlefield is so encompassing and so universal, every one of us can follow in Arjuna's footsteps out there. We can understand what our problems are due to, what our anxieties are due to, and we can understand the solution. The problems and anxieties are due to identifying with the body and things in relation to the body. Taking the material body and mind to be more serious and substantial than the spirit soul and our spiritual development. What is the mistake in life? Before the Lord, nor the gods before him. In more precise spiritual scientific terms, we would say, never consider anything more important than your own spiritual realization. As soon as you consider something more important than your own spiritual realization, then you're putting something before Krishna. And you must suffer. Arjuna is going to do that. He's going to place his conception of what he thinks is best ahead of Krishna. He'll be concerned with the welfare of his kinsmen, how he'll feel after the battle's over if all his kinsmen are dead. Who's he going to celebrate a victory with? What will happen? Of all the soldiers that die. Arjuna is going to act like he is the best evaluator, not Krishna. And he's going to try to inflict his judgment upon Krishna, as if Krishna doesn't know what he's doing. So we do that all the time. We are sure that we have some things we have to tend to that are more important than our spiritual development. And when we take shelter of the material energy, we get encouragement. Yes, yes, don't try so hard for Krishna. You have to go about it your own way, in your own time. Don't be fanatical now. Keep an open mind to all the possibilities. I can all agree. I know that you want to serve Krishna. I know you're not an atheist, so Maya tells you, but just be balanced and open mind. After all, you have to have a little experience of illusion in order to understand what is Krishna. Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? those devotees who experience Maya, they make the best devotees because they really understand Maya and they can give it up easily when they want to. For those devotees who simply study the books and learn about Maya that way, their convictions are best true. The Maya's argument given in the 6th canto by Daksha to Narada Muni. After Narada Muni made 11,000 of his sons preachers in the renounced order, Daksha accused Narada Muni of being sinful, unsadhu-like. Don't you know that those who become detached from material existence simply through knowledge are not as fixed in their renunciation as those who do it when they have experience? Daksha admitted, yes, material acts illusory, but in order to properly deal with the illusion, you have to enjoy it first and then give it up. As soon as we forget Krishna, or as soon as we want to put Krishna aside, that's when all the problems happen. And this is what Arjuna is going to say to Krishna under the influence of the illusory energy. What about my senses? Krishna, what are you going to do about my senses? This battle does not satisfy my senses. It doesn't look right to my senses. It doesn't feel right. Everything about it, upside down. In other words, Krishna, you don't know what you're doing and talking about. I can see the whole picture. You can't, Krishna. This is the conflict that's going on. Sounds familiar? Text 26. Tathapashyapstithan pata pitin asa pitamahan achayan matulan bratrin putran bhavran sakim shtata swashalan suhidas chaiva senyo uvayo api. There Arjuna could see within the midst of the armies of both parties, his fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, friends, and also his fathers-in-law and well-wishers. Suddenly he sees nothing around him except bodily relations, family relations, friends. He's being hit now with the essence of Maya. I'm this body, and all these people out there are in relation to my body. Oh, no! The curtain of Maya has descended upon him by Krishna's will, just to show us what it's like. Next text, 27. Hansa miksha sakonteya savan bandhu navastitan kripaya paraya vishto vasidan nidam abravit. When the son of Kunti, Arjuna, saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, he became overwhelmed with compassion and spoke thus. Now at this point, everyone sympathizes. Of course he becomes overwhelmed with compassion. What's wrong with that? Even to this day, when we read this, one might think, in the previous verse, 626, he sees within the midst of the armies, on both sides, he sees fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, friends, fathers, and well-wishers. Of course he's going to feel compassion. How right you are, Arjuna. Seems logical, doesn't it? Right? Yes, of course. Give peace a chance. What's wrong with him becoming overwhelmed with compassion? Kripaya paraya vishto. What's wrong with that? Now we're going to get a lesson in what is real compassion. Don't get suckered. Don't get tricked. What's happening is such that you may go down the tubes with your understanding along with Arjuna in a very tricky way. He's being compassionate on the material plane and forgetting about the spiritual identity and forgetting he is part of the Supreme Soul and meant to satisfy the Supreme Soul. All that's just suddenly perhaps slipped out the door. You gotta catch it right now. This is a very pivotal point in the first chapter. All of a sudden, Arjuna has slipped into Maya in a very eloquent and seemingly legitimate way. Compassion. It's an overwhelming compassion. Then you gotta say, well. So then, compassion is not allowed in Krishna consciousness? No, Krishna will win. Why? Because Krishna will convince you what real compassion is. Arjuna's compassion that he's showing now has value only on the material, the relative plane. But Krishna will show you compassion that has supreme value on the eternal plane. So you got to watch yourself. Don't go down the tubes right now with Arjuna. And then start carrying a grudge against Krishna. Well, this first chapter is heavy. Why did he make Arjuna fight? I'm glad I'm not in that situation. But we are in that situation. All the time we have to compromise. It's your life means compromise. At every moment. You come up with some ideal for yourself. You manufacture some ideal on your own standards. And watch how material nature forces you to break your, even your own concocted standards, what the speaker of Krishna is saying. It forces you to break even your own. Then finally you just figure, what does it matter? I don't even need my own standards. Just whatever I feel like doing, I'm going to do. Jusvemam svajanam krishna yujutsam samupastitam siranti mamagatrani mukam cha parishushyati. Will you discount and read this verse? I feel the limbs of my body quivering, my mouth drying up. Everyone's been in a situation like that. Yeah? For various reasons, who knows what it is. And Arjuna is giving you the physical symptoms of what it's like to be caught by the pinches of mind. Still, on the one hand, you can say that Arjuna is a very soft-hearted, kind-hearted person. You can say that. And that's value on the relative plane. But Krishna wants Arjuna to harmonize with the absolute plane, with the eternal plane of living. So, sometimes in the purports, you'll read how Prabhupada says, actually, Arjuna is showing noble qualities in not wanting to fight. On the other hand, on the absolute plane, that's where the action is going on. So this chapter is changing your vision from the relative plane where material things and material qualities, material piety even, has so much worth. It's changing your vision to the eternal plane. And if you don't understand you're not the body, you're going to miss all this. You're going to think, this chapter is just too heavy. I mean, family, friends, relatives, teachers, and students all about to kill one another. And Krishna is asking that to be done. It's just too heavy. Let me skip ahead to chapter 2 or 3 or something. But once you understand Krishna's position, you won't do that. The amazing thing is, we are so violent about our spiritual development. We trash our spiritual development all the time. Yet any infringement against the body, we get very serious about. Oh, No, you can't do that. You're disturbing bodily affairs. But our own spiritual development, well, it may happen, it may not. In its own time, it will come. We're very slack about our spiritual development and very sensitive about our physical and mental well-being. No one should disturb our body or mind. Our spiritual development, oh, that's another thing. In due time, it will come. This is part of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Manda sumanda mateo manda bhagya yuga. That verse is in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Symptoms of the age of Kali. Everyone is very slow. They don't care even about their own spiritual advancement. In other words, they don't care about their own self-interest. And they're always disturbed, unfortunate. We refuse to put up a protest about our spiritual development. That's not a big deal. But our immediate material situation, that is the everything. And this is what Arjuna is saying. His material situation, his immediate material situation, is the everything. And Krishna has to see that, what's going on. He's trying to convince Krishna. Can't you see? This can't be done. He's speaking. Arjuna is speaking very powerfully from the material plane. And you're going to hear Krishna's answer in the second chapter. Brushes it aside. The amazing thing is that amidst all this, Krishna is supreme love. So you're really going to start to understand what love is really all about. Just by studying this first chapter, you're going to learn what love is. All your other conceptions are going to be annihilated on this battlefield. Just as all the friends, relatives, and teachers of Arjuna are being annihilated, your misconceptions about what love is are going to also be annihilated too. Because Krishna is going to hold firm. Kill them all. And unless you understand what's going on, you're going to not get the essence of Bhagavad Gita. It's a very powerful device for kicking you off the material plane into devotional service, this Bhagavad Gita is. It's a very powerful lever to get you to see things Krishna's way, in spite of your imperfect senses. Arjuna's going to analyze the whole situation with his imperfect senses, and dare present that to Krishna, as if Krishna can't see everything. And we do the same thing. It's so obvious to me, I have to do this and that and the other. And it's so real to her. It makes so much sense. She had a New Year's party at her home while her parents were away. And then she was with some guy, older man. Spent the next 14 hours with him. He told her that. I'll only be with you as long as you walk me around. When you don't want me around anymore, then I'll go. Original line. As soon as you want to kick me out, you can. So naturally, being a fool, she thought, oh, everything's under my control. Yes. And then, of course, the female soft-heartedness and sympathy. Oh, don't worry, I'll never tell you to go. Have no fear. The affair lasted 2 weeks, and then he told her, I really don't deserve you. I don't want you to lower your standards ever. I have to go. So she was left brokenhearted. It all made sense to her. We had a New Year's Eve party. Yeah, we were drinking. I was feeling lonely for company and so. What's the problem? He sounded good in his presentation. He said that he'd stay with me as long as I wanted to. If I wanted to go, then he'd go. Makes perfect sense. Then what happened? Now what's their solution? A 20-year-old girl. What's their solution for being miserable and bereft so many times? She called out last night and said, I think I should just get pregnant, then I'll be happy. Then I won't, in other words, I won't be lonely, I'll produce something. Didn't say she wants to get married, even for the material bit. But, speaking of something spiritual, she didn't say anything about material marriage. I think I should get pregnant. That'll help me pass the time, Have a kid, a little toy around the house. Get some more dole money. So the people are seeing these situations like that for real. It feels real. And therefore they're suffering for real, even though it's all a dream. But you can see it all in Arjuna. See that theme of Agatthani. And limbs quivering, mouth dried up. Vipatuscha shariyane romaharshascha jayate gandivamsham sate hastat tatshaiva paridanyate. More symptoms in this verse. My whole body is trembling. My hair is standing on end. My bow, gandiva, is slipping from my hand. And my skin is burning. Natasaknam yavastatam pramativa chamemana namittani chapasyami viparitani keshava. I am now unable to stand here any longer. In other words, Krishna, drive the chariot back from the middle. I can't stay here in this situation. Drive me away. I'm forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune, O Krishna. Killer of the Kesha demon. Nimittani chapashyami, viparitani keshava. We've discussed this before. What he's saying is, Krishna, you say that one result will be there, but I only see the opposite. Therefore, let's get out of here. Arjuna is declaring the supremacy of his sense perception. I see only the opposite of what's supposed to happen. I don't see any fortune, I only see misfortune. It is said that such as a result is supposed to come from this battle. I don't see that. I only see problem. The opposite. He's being selfish. What does it mean to be selfish? If you know what the self is, then there's nothing wrong with being absorbed in the self. If you understand the self as Krishna's servant, there's nothing wrong with being absorbed in it. Selfishness means when you think that you exist separately from Krishna, and you get absorbed in that illusory ego, that false ego. So here is Arjuna acting like he is separate from Krishna, and that he's the big perceiver, the big judge. I can see no good coming out of all this. I see only the opposite of what we expect. Come on, Krishna, let's go. He doesn't say, Krishna, what do you see? He says, I only see such and such. This is how we act when we're in Maya. A big problem with becoming Krishna conscious is that we judge things with our limited senses. And Krishna consciousness actually is not based upon our imperfect sense perception. Besides, to this girl, Helen's neighbor, we were discussing, she thinks she's got it all figured out according to her sense perception. Actually, the night before, she told him that her latest conclusion is, I should just become pregnant, and then it'll make me happy. But a few nights before that, her solution was, I know how I'm going to control my senses. I know how I'm not going to fall victim to lust. I'm just going to stay at home, watch TV, and knit. And she said that. I'm not falling victim to any of these men anymore. I know how I can control my senses. I'll just stay at home, watch television, and knit. Two nights later, she called back. I know, I'm going to get pregnant. I'm not going to be happy. It's not anything out of the ordinary these days. I've been watching in the center of Christ Church. So many young people totally bewildered. It's a bit different than often. Often there's still a veneer of optimism. Christ Church, these young people just, you know. You see that? They just are really hit rock bottom already. Everybody's hit rock bottom, but there's no facade about it here. So many young people like that, just milling around. Aimless. Not knowing what to do with their mind and senses, except get into trouble. So, based on her analysis, she came up with some real solutions, as far as she could see. And that is our problem. We refuse to take Krishna's version. We always impose our version. I know what I'll do. I know what's good for me. Yeah, it makes sense. And then you find some friends who'll agree with you. That's what friends are for, right? To agree with you. You keep yourself surrounded with friends who always agree with you. Otherwise, they're not your friends. Easy. So this first chapter of Bhagavad Gita seems to be very intense because from the material point of view, it seems right what Arjuna is saying and doing. But Krishna is holding firm ground and won't give in. Then you have to wonder, who is this Krishna that doesn't give in to such a brilliant presentation? What's wrong with not wanting to fight in such a situation? So from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, those who are anti-Krishna, they get a chance to hate Krishna. Who is this Krishna urging fighting? Violence. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is the handbook of Bhakti Yoga, which is the yoga of pure love and devotion. Anyway, so in text 30, Arjuna is asserting, Nimittani Tapashyami, Viparitani. Only the opposite will come about. Trust me, Krishna, I know. Text 31. Natya Shreyo Napashyami Hadaswadam Ahave Akamshe Vijayam Krishna Natyarajam Sukhanita. More authoritative statements from Arjuna. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle. Nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. How noble, yes? Yeah? Noble. He asserts himself. Let the Shreya on the Pashyami. No Shreya No good comes from this. There are two things in life, Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyas means the ultimate good, Prayas means the temporary good. Just like the children. Over there. They're expert at what? Prayas. Whatever appears to them of temporary humiliation they like to get into. You're here without all day long. Just gets into what appears good to him at the moment. Now the parent's job is how to convince him to act for the ultimate good, even in the material sense. Just like when it's time to go to school, the child has to go to school. Generally, children don't like to go to school, but their parents tell them, this is for your good, you have to do it. What to speak of, all of material life is actually prayers. And only spiritual development is Shreyas, the ultimate good. So just like the children need parents to point out what's the ultimate good in the material sense, we all actually are children, and we need someone to point out what is the real ultimate goal of life, the real Shreyas. Now it's amazing, we call ourselves adults, but we will allow ourselves to get locked into situations that aren't for our ultimate good. Yet we're so quick to correct the child. No, no, Alex, you shouldn't do that. That's not good for your development. But ourselves, well, what can I do? I just have to act this way. It's just the way it is. The way I am now. If you hear a little child talk like that, you won't listen. No, you will go to school. I don't care what you say. But ourselves? Well, you know, this is just where I'm at, and this is just what all I can do right now, and all I can see, and that's it. From a child, you won't take that. It's like, it's time for Alex to take his bath. The mother doesn't want to hear it if he doesn't want to take his bath. You will take a bath. I don't want to take a bath. No, no, no. Yes, yes, come in here. You will take a bath. No, 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 no. He's acting according to prayers. He doesn't feel. Does he dance? Listen. No. But he's feeling. Right now, what am I going to take a bath for? It's my life. I don't feel like it. And the mother knows you're going to take a bath. It's the best thing for you right now. The mother, sure, I know what's best. But what about ourselves? In our own development, in our own activities. Against the standard of Bhagavad Gita, if we measure our life, it's clear. We need to subordinate our judgment to higher judgment. Because we don't know what the ultimate goal is. If we simply rely on our senses. In that sense, we're all children. The problem is, as you get older, you're convinced, now I'm an adult, no one can tell me what to do. I see everything as it should be. This will be shattered by the first chapter and a half of Bhagavad Gita. All this confidence that we know what we're doing. Uneasy reading the first chapter and a half of Bhagavad Gita. You had those kind of feelings when you were reading the first? Yeah. It's a bit unsettling, isn't it? Yeah, it's strange. Like, what's going on here? Who is this Krishna? That's just too heavy. Everyone just wants peace, happiness, love, a Groupon. Show that. And he's lecturing Krishna. My dear Krishna. He didn't say that. My dear Krishna. There's no way I can want any victory, kingdom, or happiness out of all this. I'm so renounced. Now Arjuna is presenting himself as a great renunciate. He's going to walk away from the whole thing. Nakanshi Vijayam Krishna Natarajam Sukhani Cha. I'll give it all up. I don't want anything. No kingdom, no happiness, no victory. I'll walk away from it all. I don't need anything. Then we go to the next verse. Text 32. Again, Arjuna will assert this point. He's asserting his detachment. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that he's detached? For the second time, he's going to say this. Kinga Rajina Govinda Himbongar Jivatainava. Oh Govinda, of what avail to us our kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield? Again, he's declaring our renunciation. I don't need a kingdom. What's the point of it all? What's the point of happiness? What's the point even of living in this kind of situation? Now you might say, he's really detached, he's really renounced. But the actual truth is, this kind of renunciation won't last. Why? Because it's not based on Krishna's desires. Therefore, he can only stay like this temporarily. It's like, do you have ticks here? Yeah. So, during the winter time, the ticks, they become very small, yes. But in the summer, ticks on the body of an animal or human being, they become very big. Because summer is very favorable for their blood sucking. So, our renunciation is like that, our so-called renunciation. When times aren't favorable, then we say, oh, I'm not attached. But as soon as the right moment comes for sucking blood, then, well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. So this is, Prabhupada, he explains in his lectures, this is the kind of renunciation that actually Arjuna is talking about there. It's called Smashana Vairagya. Cemetery renunciation talk. Smashana means crematorium. When all the relatives of a deceased person go to the funeral ceremony, they're always talking words of detachment. Oh, life is like a dream. You can go any moment. You never figure it out completely. They all talk philosophically like that. You've been to some funerals? It's amazing, you know, you never quite get it all together. Then as soon as they go home from the funeral, it's back to business as usual. So don't be fooled by Arjuna's talk. Kim Norajena Govinda Kim Bongar Jivatena Ba. What do I need with a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself? In this situation when all these relatives and relations are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? This is actually not a renunciation because it's not based on Krishna's desires. Actually, if he knows the desire of the Lord, then he should fight to get the kingdom, not for his own enjoyment, but to rule it on behalf of Krishna. That's real renunciation. Not to say, I don't want it. Nothing is yours anyway. But the chance to serve Krishna and to use everything in Krishna's service, that is yours. Any questions? Numbers are given for battles. way we get in line with them sometimes now. It was involved soldiers, warriors, kings from all over the earth. Krishna, as super soul, inspired them all to gather in one spot and finish them all off. Why? Because too much advancement in military strength is considered demoniac. Distorts the actual purpose of human life. So things got out of hand, and Krishna gathered all the warriors and kings in one spot and finished them off, and put the one he wanted in charge. Mystical? That's from the Vedic standard, that's not considered mystical. Recent history. From the Vedic viewpoint, those kind of weapons are considered ordinary. You got Ben acting like one of them too?
Yeah, but you got a motorcycle too.
You got to figure out how to clear the place out. And everyone would sympathize. Yes, you have a right to do that. So Krishna's doing the same thing. He's clearing the place out. But he's the actual proprietor. And everyone is his energy. He's only dealing with what's his. All the bodies are his energy and all the souls are his energy. You have to remember that point. Anything else? Well, it's a turning point, not so much in the battle, but in Arjuna's experience. Prior to this, he was seeing things clearly. Now he's completely in Maya. Yes, that is a turning point, like that. It's not a military turning point, but it's a turning point in Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna has just veered off into Maya.
I'm confused when I read the purple idea also mentioned that soft hardens the tuna. Because Prabhupada writes that such symptoms in the tuna were not due to weakness, but due to soft hardens, the characteristic of pure devotion of the Lord.
Right. Prabhupada is weaving in different perspectives. In other words, he's saying, even if you think Arjuna is showing good qualities, that's actually because he's a devotee. He's using Prabhupada, using everything to get you to surrender. You think he's soft hearted? You like that? That's because he's a devotee. Then the ultimate judgment is that his soft-heartedness was not doing Krishna any good. Therefore, the next chapter, Krishna's going to call him a fool. Anything else? Not yet. Is it becoming clearer for you?
Yes.
Which chapter are you up to now? You're reading? Talking about it, you all are helping me to get the dynamics, grasp the dynamics. themselves to be very martial, very competitive, love to take responsibility. And legs and belly don't know what to do. Yeah. You see how invigorating Bhagavad Gita is? It really gives you a backbone, doesn't it? Strong and spine.
Yeah.
Takes out all the wishy-washiness of life. That's what we don't like. When you want to be in Maya, you first put the Bhagavad Gita on yourself because it takes all the wishy-washiness out of life. You know? I mean, it's just a full-on action book. No, this way, that way, it's not dodgy. It's philosophically profound and to the point. Right? Page after page. It's amazing. Just doesn't let up. Full-on. Page after page, just everything so perfectly arranged like the facets of a diamond. Everything completely explained. And then just think, Srimad Bhagavatam takes all the themes of Bhagavad Gita and enlarges upon them. You can't wait, huh?